I made my clients feel there was nowhere I would rather be than with them. It worked. My clients always came back to me. They could have gotten sex anywhere. What they cherished was the welcome I gave them and the time we shared afterward. They wanted the closeness, I say. As soon as the words leave my mouth, I remember how good it felt to lie beside the woman I loved and talk. Ariel's been dead 3 years. I can still hear the sound of her laughter in the dark. My mind drifts. Luckily, Misty stays on topic. "You're right, Charlie," she says. "People are hungry for someone who will listen and not judge." I pull myself back to the present. "That's pretty much what I do every night on the show," I say. The glint in Misty's eyes is mischievous. "Do you earn $800 an hour with a 3-hour minimum?" I furrow my brow. "I'm gonna need a calculator for that one," I say. But while I figure out my hourly worth, let's have a listen to Mick Jagger singing Satisfaction, the anthem for those of us who can never quite manage to get it together. I sing the opening bars along with Mick. Nova and Misty shoot me the kind of look sisters give kid brothers who are showing off. I open up my talkback. "Mick may be getting a little long in the tooth, but he can still nail the pain," I say. Nova rolls her eyes. She is not a fan of the Stones. The call board is lit up like the proverbial Christmas tree. The inbox is already close to full. I turn to Misty. "Your dance card is filling up," I say. "Satisfaction is obviously a hot topic." I cast a fleeting look in Nova's direction. Knowing she's there always anchors me. Nova's a truly terrific woman, smart, compassionate, and real. She never wears makeup. She doesn't need to. Her skin is flawless. Her eyes are the clear blue-gray of a northern lake. When she's working, she ties her blonde hair up in a scrunchie. She's 34, my age, but the scrunchie always makes her look like a teenager. I watch as she takes a call. Her body tenses. Suddenly, she looks like a teenager with big problems. I open the talkback. "What's up?" I say. She doesn't answer. Her focus is wholly on the caller. Her thumbnail finds its way into her mouth, always a bad sign. Her nails are already chewed to the quick. Finally, the call is over. When Nova opens her talkback, her voice is small and strained. "That phone call," she says. "I hope it was a prank, but I don't think it was." "Did you recognize the voice?" I ask. Nova shakes her head. "No, it was a woman. At least I think it was. The voice was muffled, but the message was clear. The caller said, 'Tell Charlie's guest to watch her step. It's take out the garbage night. Time to kill all the hookers and wash the streets with blood.'" I have no doubt that the caller is one of O'Hanlon's warriors. I'm furious at myself. I wasn't even aware the warriors existed until Dolores filled me in. Kevin O'Hanlon has the time slot just before mine. He sits in the chair I sit in. He uses the microphone I use. He's been on the air for 9 months. I had no idea he was using the microphone we share to foment hatred. When the Kevin O'Hanlon show began, I listened to it a few times. His attacks on the granola-eating, Birkenstock-wearing, holier-than-thou, left-leaning intellectuals were nasty. But as Misty pointed out, Kevin developed a loyal following. Over 900,000 people listened to his program every night. Good news for CVOX, but not for the authorities who would now have to track down the person who had uttered the threat. It was a needle-in-a-haystack situation. And time was running short. Nova's voice is firm. "Charlie, we can't handle this one alone." I run my fingers through my hair. "You're right," I say. "Call the police." Misty's blue eyes are fixed on my face, attempting to read the situation. She's 9 months pregnant. I don't want to alarm her by telling her about the phone call. As is often the case, Nova's way ahead of me. "I'll send the police a tape of the call," she says. "And Charlie, I'll make sure they send over an officer to protect Misty